Welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review. Our several-year mission will be to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. We will be reviewing every Star Trek comic book ever published. These stories have been released by Gold Key, Marvel, DC, Malibu, Wildstorm, Tokyo Press, IDW, and others. Star Trek and all that the Star Trek universe contains is copyrighted by CBS Studios, Inc.
Hello and welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review with Donovan and Ken. Episode number 424, recorded June 9th, 2024.
So we're all caught up on Star Trek, so we get to do a little presents where we're doing Predator versus Wolverine miniseries.
Very cool. This is very cool.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of these presents issues, and I really like it when we get to do a versus, because it's like you get to dabble in two different franchises. So here we get Predator and the Marvel Universe.
Right. And the writer, Benjamin Percy, takes advantage of Logan's long life to present a lot more story than I was expecting.
Yeah, I really wasn't expecting the, it's hard to call them flashbacks, because it just, the story just takes place in four different eras. So, I'm assuming that the next two issues, each one's going to be in a different era. So definitely these first two different eras of Logan's life and his run in with the Predator species.
Exactly. And as we will see, well, whatever, we'll see it.
We'll see it.
I just wasn't expecting it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
I mean, yeah. you figure you can't have them fighting the whole time. But you have them fighting a lot, so there has to be more to it than that, and there is.
Yeah, especially this first issue. This first issue is like, everybody wants to see the fight. Let's just let them fight for a while, and then we'll try to beef up the story for the later issue. I didn't count the pages for this first issue of how much is just them fighting each other, but it felt like a lot.
Yes.
So,
but how do you make all the fights different? Well, they found a way. Well, different to some degree anyway.
Yeah, well, one of the ways is to have different artists doing each time period, which I thought was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
Well, you want to just jump into it? I mean, if you're not a fan of Predator or Wolverine, no hard feelings. Come back in it.
You might want to tap out now.
Yeah, but we do have some IDW.
And the next Star Trek episode too.
Yeah, so this will be the next two episodes covering this miniseries, and then we'll be back to Star Trek, because we'll have some of the ongoing and Defiant, plus the Pride Month issues coming out, along with an annual. So we're just waiting on these to come out so that we can read them for you again.
Right. Did you mention the Sons of Star Trek?
Oh, yeah, that's right. The fourth issue of Sons of Star Trek comes out in a couple of weeks, so then we'll be able to do that one as well. So
we'll be back on that one eventually, which, again, turned out to be, at least so far, better than I expected.
Right. All right, so shall we get into our little detour?
Let's do.
So I got the pleasure of doing Predator versus Wolverine number one, written by Benjamin Percy, artists. They kind of have it broken out into some different time frames. So the present day storyline is done by Ken Lashley. And then we have a young Wolverine storyline done by Greg Land and Jay Leeston. And then we have a Team X storyline, which has Andrea Devato. The colorer will be Juan Fernandez for the present day in Team X sections, and Frank DeMarta for the Young Wolverine section. The letterer is VC's Corey Pettet. There's lots of covers, so I'm not going to go over the covers. There's 13 different covers. All of them are some sort of variation of Wolverine and Predator fighting. They're all cool, but there's some that are like little artsies. There's some that are cuties with like little chibi guys. So definitely just go on to the internet and look at the covers. We have editorial assist by Lindsay Kohick. Editor is Sarah Bernstad. And editor-in-chief is C.B. Kobolski. Here we go. The story starts in the present day. Wolverine is decked out in his classic X-Men costume, but he's very battered and he's trying to escape the pursuit of a deadly predator. Chunks of muscle and skin are all missing all over his body as he limps away towards a nearby cliff to perhaps rest and allow his healing factor to kick in. The alien predator spots him and shoots a plasma bolt at the mutant. Wolverine leaps away and actually leaps over the cliff. So the predator comes up to the cliff and looks down to see where he landed. He does not see, but we do, that Wolverine is actually hiding from the trophy hunter. And then he goes into a flashback saying some of this seems familiar to him. So we flash back to the 1900s. Probably it just says 1900. We're in the Alaskan wilderness and we meet a James Howlett. And he's hiding away from the rest of the world because his mutant powers has kicked in and the world is just not ready for it. He hides away in the frozen wilderness using his mutant abilities to track animals and using his bone claws to catch prey in order to skin them and sell them to a local village. Unbeknownst to him, a young predator has also arrived into the area and finds a dead hunter from his own species. The dead warrior has arrows throughout his body, but we are never treated to who did this killing. In a local town, James is offered to take a rich man to a nearby homestead where he says his son is being held for ransom. After a bar fight between James and the locals, he agrees to help the man for a big payday and a way to stay out of town for a while. Meanwhile, the predator spends his time tracking and killing the local animals, deer, rams, cougars, etc. He then finds a house with this planet's most dangerous creatures, aka man. James takes his Patreon to a nearby house where his son is supposedly being kept. Before they get there, they find lots of human and animal bodies skinned and tied up in the trees. James sees that one of these bodies is a local who has treated him fairly in the past. So this enrages him, knowing that these kidnappers have also gone around and killed the local people. So he rips off his coat and he unleashes the claws to go berserker on these guys. The fight is quick, with James jumping in while the kidnappers were playing poker. As the dust settles and he looks around the house looking for the kidnapped son, he then gets shot in the chest with a shotgun by his new Patreon. It seems that there never was a son. This man just tricked James into taking out his competition. As he's laying bleeding on the floor, the man suddenly explodes by the predator's plasma cannon. And then this is when the main event of the storyline takes place, with the big battle between mutant and alien are duking it out. So during this long fight, they're both stabbed and cut in various different ways. At one time, Wolverine's claws are broken because at this point they're just bone. The fight seems to come to an end when the predator is jumped by a grizzly bear, who then takes the predator into a nearby cave, which allows James time to escape. Predator does not leave with the mutant's head as a trophy, but he does manage to best the grizzly. Perhaps Earth is a good place to return for future hunts. We then flash forward many decades. It only says this is, quote unquote, several years ago. I think that is probably taking place in the 80s, 90s, 70s, somewhere around there. Logan, aka Wolverine, has now had all his memory wiped from his time as James Howlett. And he's now part of a special team called Team X. He is part of a team of five, and they're in South America to take over a weapons dealer. As they are stalking their prey, they themselves are being stalked by a pack of four predators, including the same one that Logan fought many years ago. One of the special Team X members is taken out by a razor net. And yeah, everybody else is tracking the trees, ready for the next showdown. To be continued.
Cool issue.
It's a nice little taste of the next bit of conflict. And right. Don't it remind you of the original Predator movie? Except only for insert Team X.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Remove Arnie and the boys.
Totally. So instead of going after drug dealers, they're going after some sort of weapon dealer. And
yeah, who wants to do a coup? So they're trying to stop a coup.
Right, because he's like a former general or something like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, something like that.
And he's hiding out in like a Mayan temple or something. So the locale is pretty cool because it's all like Aztecian looking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
But that's more next issue than this one.
Exactly, right. This one focuses on, James? Is that his name?
James Howlett, yeah.
There you go.
His pre-Wolverine name.
Exactly. So it's focusing on his early days when he's a young buck. What is he, like 20? 19, 18?
Yeah, it's hard to
tell. Young, he's pretty young.
Yeah.
Quite young. For somebody who's out in the wilderness so much, he doesn't have a lot of hair. He has a pretty well-shaven face. We don't see stubble and that kind of stuff in the
huge mutton chops.
Exactly. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, like you said, he's young. It hasn't all grown in yet.
Yeah, that's it. They really want to get across the point that he is a young man at this point, which is cool. Very cool. Right.
Yeah. So he just makes his way by killing these animals, skinning them, and taking them into town. Only when he needs either a drink or something specific. Other than right. that, he's just living on the land.
Yeah. And the way he actually, this is the middle of winter. It's cold as heck. And apparently he's cut a hole in the ice and went in, and just grabs the beavers out of their dens. It's like, that's manly. And boy, would that be cold.
Yeah, well, I guess if you have a healing factor, you don't have to worry about getting frostbite and having things falling off.
I guess not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, so even though he doesn't have the animanium yet, he's just bone claws and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, you would think that. So at one point, the Predator breaks his claws off on one of his hands, like completely shears it off. Mm-hmm. So does his healing factor will regrow those bones? I mean, I think that's been established
I think it's established. Yeah, I think it's a given. I mean, we usually don't see him from back in those days.
Right.
But I guess I think we've seen him with bone claws before.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, right? I mean, they took Logan and Sabretooth's, his brothers, natural healing factor. They learned how it worked, and they used it on Deadpool. That's the story, right? That's how Deadpool got his healing factor?
Yeah, I believe so.
Or...
Right. Yeah. I mean, somehow he was already a mutant, but somehow the Weapon X people were able to
unlock it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe he had the natural healing factor like Logan.
Yeah. But
he
just had I don't remember. I mean, my time with the X-Men was kind of before Deadpool hit it big. So I was like the late 80s, early 90s X-Men, and then they really blew up and I kind of fell out of it. That was when X-Force and Deadpool and all them really took off.
Mm, okay.
But anyways.
Okay. Anywho. Yeah.
So yes, I really liked the scene with him in the bar and the people are mad at him for being too good a hunter or whatever, which I thought was fun. Just an excuse for him to take out a bunch of ruffians.
Exactly. So would they're also beaver hunters and...
Right, and they're mad.
They're jealous and...
Yeah.
How good he is. Yeah.
Yeah, but that one part where he grabs a saw and then just shears off one of the dude's hands that shooting him with the pistol is just like, oh my goodness. He doesn't need those claws.
Okay, so the guy who's got his six gun out and blasting at him, he's got his face kind of gnarled up, so maybe his eyes are kind of screwed up. Or a bit, because I mean he's blam blam blamming and Logan's running away from him, so he should have him dead to rights as far as shooting him in the back, which of course you know in the end that wouldn't stop Logan or James, but still it looks like he doesn't hit him at all, and I guess they're explaining that because his face is messed up and he's shooting blind.
Yeah, he took that glass to the face.
Right. Anyway, I thought it was kind of odd how the guy should have been able to hit Logan a couple times and didn't seem to be able to. But
right.
But that was kind of cool. He just takes the saw off the wall. And this is like a two-man saw, you know, like one guy on each side and there's a handle on each side and you're just sawing through the middle of the tree. And Logan uses it quite effectively.
Yeah. I did think that the bartender was a little more nonchalant about all this carnage than she probably should have. She's just like, see, I told you he was tough. She might have used a curse word there, but she doesn't look too terribly upset that he just murdered all these people in the barn or in the bar.
And she looks like a Native American woman, so it's like, the white guys are killing each other. Who cares? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but the guy in the bowler.
Yeah.
So the guy in the bowler is quite the dandy.
Right.
And boy, do I hate this guy's guts.
Yeah, especially when you find out he doesn't even have a son.
Exactly. He's just manipulating Logan. And he just shoots him in the back. Doesn't give him a chance.
Right.
And then, of course, so they set the guy up for somebody you really dislike. And then when he has his head absolutely atomized, you're like, oh, yeah. He doffs his bowler hat to Logan dying there, about to leave, and like, bam!
I did find it funny. Why would the Predator, why would it Predator do that, though?
Because it's cool.
Exactly. Because he didn't have a gun or anything. It's not like they were fighting. It was just like, I'm just going to shoot this guy in the head.
Yeah.
Oh. But it sets up the big fight, so that's why he did it.
Well, another good question about that is, if you take out a head and turns it basically into a red mist, you're not going to have much of a trophy, are you?
Right. Yeah, that's also my point, is that he did not kill him to be a trophy.
Right.
But he also didn't know Wolverine was going to regenerate and be able to start fighting him. So I don't see the value, or I don't see the logic in why he killed that guy, other than it looked cool and we, the audience, to see it.
Yeah. And like, he's also got those native people's bodies that Logan saw on the way in. So he's got plenty of trophies. So I don't know whether there's a catch limit or, you know, maybe they don't, you know, once they get like a half dozen, they don't really, they're not as worried about getting the 7th or 13th or whatever.
Right.
But I don't know. Whatever. Okay. So after he gets his head atomized, the big entrance, it's almost a full page, not quite, but the big entrance of the Predator coming in. And when you look at this Predator, this is the skinniest Predator I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So you can see his upper torso, which is very human-like. Normally, it's more covered up when you see Predators. I mean, they got that nylon thing or the netting thing. But still, you're not... At least in my recollection, I remember being able to see so much of the physical body, but obviously at least I took it that this is a young Predator also.
Yeah, exactly. He's a young guy.
So, you know, a young guy, kind of like the same kind of young guy that James is.
Right. A scrawny little teenager guy. That's why he's not all buff like the Predators usually are.
Like the normal ones we see. Exactly. Right. So it's like the old Casablanca line. I think this is the start of a beautiful relationship. So here's you two contemporaries, and they're going to be fighting for a long time. This is the same Predator as we see in all these different time jumps, right?
Right, yeah. So he has a very distinct helmet where his forehead looks kind of like fish scales a little bit. Mm-hmm. Has like a scale look to it. Right. Reptile scales, I guess, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is the same one that's attacking him in the present day and also in the Team X storyline in South America.
Right.
So I know in Predator Mythos, they've kind of played around with the whole they like to be in hot environments. But This is not hot. He's in a very cold environment. And I know that in Alien versus Predator, the first one, they were in Antarctica, which obviously is not very hot either, so... I get it. They're an alien species. They can hunt wherever they want to, but it just seems weird. It's weird seeing them out of the hot environments like he's supposed to be.
Right. Like jungles and stuff.
Jungles, cities, you know, that.
Which I like that sequel. You hardly ever see it on streaming services or TV or whatever.
Yeah, it's not very popular.
Yeah.
I think it might be the second or third best Predator movie. Probably third best. The first one, Prey, and then that one.
Oh, you like Prey a lot? I like that one, too.
Yeah.
I guess I've never really thought about ranking them, but...
Well, I like the franchise, so I think about it a lot.
There you go. Okay.
So we've kind of been talking about everything else. You want to talk about the fight real quick? Or not quick?
Sure. Take this? The big fight.
Yeah, the Predator-Wolverine fight.
Okay, yeah.
So I did think it was cool that Wolverine basically starts the whole fight with, like, cutting him in the throat with his bone claws. Mm-hmm. So it did kind of put the Predator at a disadvantage right from the beginning. You know, because Wolverine's still healing from the shotgun blast to the chest.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of cool that there. He got that lucky shot right at the beginning because the Predator didn't realize he was not dead.
Right.
And there with a hole in his chest. And then he jumps up and stabs him in the neck. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But also Go ahead.
It was just smart where he caught him because he's got the helmet on top and he's got some of the shoulder pieces beneath it. And so he got right in there in the right place between all the armor stuff. So I think that was pretty smart.
Right. But then, yeah, they both get pierced in the guts at some point. They both, the Predator keeps throwing around this spinning blade. That's not quite the disc from Predator 2, more like the individual bladed disc from
Krull.
Alien versus Predator. Oh, Krull too. Yeah. But in Alien versus Predator, he had one of these.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, Krull. I hadn't thought about that movie in forever.
Oh, exactly. That's really old. Talk about a one-off movie, just kind of like out of the blue. Yeah, it's pretty cool way to like that.
Right. So I didn't mention it, but he does end up, Wolverine ends up with that weapon at the end. So.
And that's an important thing.
In issue two, yeah.
Yeah. Now, mind you, how he could have helped, well, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll definitely need to talk about that one.
Yeah. So in this fight, Logan is getting some nasty wounds to his torso. Mm-hmm. So he gets shot in the back and has his, you know, from the back, his guts blown out. And then after James has one of his claws broken, the Predator takes his spear thingy, almost looks like a trident, and puts that right through the probably still healing hole.
Right.
From the shotgun blast. And I was like, oh my God.
Right. And then Logan's just like,
that's gotta hurt.
Yeah, and he runs away with it. So he leaves the Predator running around with this staff still through his body.
Right.
To me, that would be a funny visual just to see somebody running away with while being skewered.
Mm-hmm.
And Shizan didn't do that when he got skewered. He didn't just jump up and start running away with it.
Well, he doesn't have a healing factor.
It's true.
And then what does he do next? What does Logan do next after he runs away? He's got to pull this stinking thing out of his body. And the trident part on the top, it has barbs facing backwards too. So it's like, oh my God, that's got to have caught on the way out. I guess when he was young, he had a really good healing factor.
Right.
Because that's a lot of healing to have to do.
Yeah, in the present day storyline, he does keep talking about how if he takes too much damage, then it slows down the healing. So I guess at that point in the story, they must have already been fighting for a long time because he's like missing half a shoulder. Halfway scalped, you know. So he's been through it, and it's not healing up very fast.
Yeah, in the present day fight, when you first see him and stuff, a big old chunk of his left shoulder is missing. Right. It's really quite gross. It's great job from the artist standpoint.
Right.
It looks really, really good. But it's like, oh my gosh, that's pretty significant. If you didn't have a healing factor, you'd be dead.
Right. Yeah. If this was Batman, he would have lost.
Yeah. But you know, Donovan, this is Star Trek Comic Book Review presents. Mm-hmm. But we did have a little taste of Star Trek here.
Oh, really? Where was it? I missed it.
It's a small taste. There is a spot where it says, this is literally taken from the panel, as his cloaking device powers down. So they're using Star Trek terminology, which has made its way into the modern day vernacular, at least in the North America, of cloaking devices. So that's kind of cool.
So Star Trek was the first one that to have cloaking devices?
Well, is that I know of. Mm. At the very least, even if it wasn't the first, they definitely made it famous.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Okay, so what prior to 1966 would have used the term or the concept of a cloaking device? An invisibility shield, whatever.
Yeah, I can't think of any, but...
I don't know. Maybe somebody did. I mean, the whole idea of a tractor beam, I mean, and beaming in general, transporters. I mean, I know there were things like transporters in science fiction before Star Trek, but they really did make it famous.
They did.
I mean, the whole concept of having shields around a ship and all those kind of things. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting, the terminology, seeing the terminology. Look, Star Trek, look. Cloaking device, power's down. Yeah, it's technology. Yeah. It's no stupid invisibility cloak, Harry.
Oh, a Harry Potter jab. That's not cool.
Yeah, Harry Potter jab. Yeah. I prefer technology explaining things over magic.
Eh. They're interchangeable.
There you go.
So, in the Team X timeline, Wolverine and Sabretooth are the only two I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Jackson, Cruel, and Maverick were?
No.
I mean,
are. Actually, no clue. Well, you were at least reading more comics in that time period, if not X-Men stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar with the Team X stuff at all. I'm familiar with more with all that kind of stuff from the movies.
The movies, yeah. Yeah, Maverick looks familiar. I think I know who he is, but I don't know who Cruel and Jackson are.
Nah. And I'm sure they just made him up. I'm guessing these guys are just made up for the comic.
Yeah.
But because of the fact that Maverick survived, maybe that is a character they lifted from Team X.
Oh, Maverick survives?
Yeah.
I guess I didn't know.
Well, Maverick. Oh, I'm sorry. Shh. We're jumping forward.
So sorry. In this one, we see Cruel. He gets diced by the razor net. Mm-hmm. So he might not make it, but I don't know about the others yet.
Yeah. What is he anyway? I mean, is he like a rat man? A Batman? What the heck is he?
Yeah, he looks like a Batman to me. Oh, maybe he's a Cruel. Yeah.
He's kind of got the big ears like a crow.
Yeah, kind of. But
his nose kind of looks like a bat?
A little bit, yeah.
And is that part of a bone coming out of his forehead on the side? Or is that his ear?
I think that's his ears. That's his ears.
Okay, that's part of his ear. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, pretty nasty. So he's the first guy that gets taken down that alerts them to the danger, apparently.
Right. And like I said, one of the predators is this scale helmeted predator from the other two timelines, and he's definitely a lot more muscular than he was back in 1900.
Yeah,
he's put on some weight.
Right. Yeah. So and he's
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, he's had 80 years, 70 years, whatever the time period this is.
Right.
He's had some years to grow a bit, and the cool thing about this one is it's a hunting party. So in the original Alien, there was just one alien taking out everybody. In this one, there's five in the hunting party, right? Five predators.
Oh, five. Yeah, I totally miscounted. I thought there was only four, but now I see the one in the foreground, the one that's like right in your face.
Exactly. Yeah.
I thought that was a tree.
But at least it's more of a fair fight anyway, right. Five against five.
Five against five. But we know the real reason why there's five.
Why?
So that we can take out a few.
Yeah, well, these are not mere mortals. They got a good chance of taking out a predator or two, which we'll find out about in the next issue.
Well, you ready to find out? I don't have anything
else. Let's do it. That's all I got to say. Issue number two, continuing the exciting story, has a published date of December 2023. Same writer, artists. I think these are the same artists, but Ken Lashley, Andrea DeVito, Hayden Sherman, colors Juan Fernandez and Alex Guimara. Oh, wow, that's a good one. Alex, your last name is a challenger. Guimara's? I don't remember how you pronounced it, but I know I just slaughtered it now. Letterer is VC's Corey Petit. I don't know. Additional log design or logo design, I think. Sarah Spanduccini. Designed by Jay Bowden. Assistant editor Lindsay Kohick. Editor Sarah Brunstadt. And editor in chief CB Cebulski. Oh, that's interesting. Cebulski. Okay, there you go. So those are the folks behind it. There are six covers. The first one features a fight between the Predator and Team X, all dressed in black. Wolverine is a member of the X Assault Team. One team member, which I didn't know his name at this time when I did the synopsis, but it's Maverick, is being held aloft in the air by the Predator's right arm while the alien hunter gazes down at Wolverine. And another Team X member that did turn out to be Sabretooth is also on the cover. And the art's by Mark Chichito. Cover B is just another, it's the current time period fight between Wolverine and the Predator. I mean, what more is there to say? Like Donovan said. So in this one, Wolverine's able to slice open the Predator's abs. And the Predator is pretty much like, just a flesh wound. Cover C features Wolverine in mid-leap towards Predator, who is just turning to meet the attack. Wolverine is naked except for wires, monitoring equipment, and a helmet. So when I saw this, it was like, is this the Predator trying to figure out how Wolverine's healing factor works so he can artificially reproduce it? I wasn't sure what that was supposed to be. He's got a lot of Felger carb on him. Art by Javi Fernandez. And of course, this is a cover where we don't see Logan looking like this in the issue. So maybe that's a sneak preview of later issues. Cover D features the Predator holding a beaten Wolverine aloft in one mighty arm. The alien's huge hands almost envelop Logan's neck, and he is in his classic outfit. So this must be in the current time period. Cover E features a version of cover B. And finally, cover F presents Wolverine unconscious and naked on some kind of monitor table, hooked up to a slew of wires. The Predator is walking towards the table. When I first looked at the cover, I assumed they were in the Predator's spaceship, but by the end of the issue, you find out that that's not where they are. And the art is by Hayden Sherman for that one. Canada, now. The bloody form of Wolverine is clinging to a vertical chunk of rock high above a raging river. It's just beneath the lip of the precipice that the Predator is standing on. Will Wolverine be able to escape detection long enough for his healing factor to kick in and take care of his serious wounds, especially that bowling ball-sized chunk out of his left shoulder? Logan gives himself away by mistake when he knocks two boulders off the outcrop he is partially standing on. Immediately, he sees three flying devices the size of Frisbees coming around the corner towards him. He slices the closest device and leaps from his perch, narrowly escaping the directed energy beams emitted by the other two that blast out rock and boulders from where Wolverine was standing just seconds earlier. It seems to take a long time, but he finally hits the water below, Logan. His heavy, dense, adamantium-laced skeleton drags him to the river's bottom, where he is pinned by the avalanche of rocks that followed him down. His lungs fill with water as the Predator swims down to his location. Many years ago in South America, Logan and Team X are armed to the teeth and standing near an ancient pyramid. Their Dirty Tricks mission this day is to stop a coup by taking out an up-and-coming military leader. Unfortunately, one of their five-man team is pinned to a tree by a sophisticated net device, so they are in a classic defensive formation with guns out and aimed at their unseen attackers. Suddenly, the five attackers became visible. Apparently, they wanted to be seen. Wolverine's memory had been wiped many times, but still, there is something about these aliens that he recognized on a primal level. The attacker in the lead has a device on his arm that somehow is tracking the weapon around Logan's neck. How does he know that thing is really after him? He removes the souvenir from his neck and deploys it with lightning speed at their attackers. He is able to slice a predator's neck in the back of the pack. The leader is too smart and fast to be caught by it. The weapon returns to Logan's hand while he is telling his team to fall back. Maverick races forward with guns blazing, unfortunately. Sabretooth opens up on the aliens with his Gatling gun that chews up the forest in front of them. Unfortunately, an invisible predator comes up from behind and spears Sabretooth in the chest. With a maniacal, unhinged smile, the huge mutant grabs the alien and pulls it into the spear and embraces the alien. Sabretooth will not go down alone. Seeing there is nothing they can do for Sabretooth, Logan, Jackson, and Maverick take off running to find cover. Jackson is caught around the neck with a thin metal noose that drags her up into the trees. Logan and Maverick fire up into the trees, blindly hoping to take out an attacker. The very dead body of Jackson thuds to the ground near them without a head, but with a triangular bit of tech about the size of a frisbee attached to her uniform. Suddenly, it goes boom. Logan and Maverick are thrown and land on the ground, severely lacerated and bleeding profusely. Barely able to catch their breath, an invisible predator runs up on them, ready to attack. Luckily, Maverick saw a hand with blades about to slice Wolverine to pieces and reflexively put three expertly spaced point-blank bullets into the thing. Wolverine picks up Maverick in a fireman's carry, telling him to shoot anything that follows them, while he runs for the entrance of a nearby pyramid. The two remaining predators see to one of their wounded, while Wolverine and Maverick enter the pyramid and come face to face with the would-be coup leader and his remaining men. They form an alliance, recognizing the predators outside are their real enemies. They come up with a plan that they execute when the predators enter the pyramid a short time later, cloaked and running. They easily take out the three soldiers positioned to fire on anything that tries to enter. The two predators follow the signal emitted by Wolverine's memento predator weapon deep into the Mayan pyramid until they start noticing a zeeping sound coming from all around them. The beeping stopped and the C4 explosions began. Logan, Maverick, and the general exited the pyramid through another doorway ahead of the explosions. They say nothing could have survived that, surely, right? Wolverine and Maverick pick up the injured Sabretooth and make their way to Professor Thornton's helicopter, where they are taken to safety. Years later, in a Weapons X facility in Alberta, Canada, one guard is killed silently and a second just as quietly. As the second guard is slowly dying of his slit throat, a predator decloaks and sprays the guard's head with an aerosol acid of some kind. Seconds later, the alien hunter has a worthwhile fleshless trophy. Inside the facility, more people keep dying. Eventually, a lone predator enters a large lab with the apparently unconscious body of Wolverine naked, except for the many tubes and wires draped across his body. The predator approaches. To be continued.
Yeah, so this shot here is, and the cover that you were talking about earlier where he's wearing mm-hmm. that weird helmet is straight from the Weapon X comics that came out back when I was a kid. That was like the, we were finally getting the explanation as to where the Adamantium came from and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Anytime they revisit this time frame, they got to show him naked and they got to show him with that big, big bulky helmet. Like they did helmet. On that cover. That cover. Remember that cover you said where you didn't understand why he was naked with that helmet?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the famous Weapon X look.
Oh, that's what you were talking about? Oh, yeah. Okay.
But also this panel here where he's just laying on the bed naked. So, I don't know if in the next issue he's going to put on the helmet like he did in the Weapon X comic, or I mean, obviously this is kind of revisionist history, okay, because none of this happened in the main timeline. Sure. The Predator didn't show up.
Okay.
Sorry, well, no. am I all over the place?
And he didn't show up in the movie where they went over this.
That's true. The great movie. Wolverine Origins. X-Men Origins, right? X-Men Origins Wolverine. So good.
Right, exactly. Oh, so good. What a classic. Oh my God, what they did to Deadpool. Anyway. Okay, so all those boxes and the helmet and all that kind of stuff, that was from when Weapon X was giving him his adamantium stuff?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Now, I see him being draped out on this better, but as part of getting the adamantium, they had a helmet on him and all this other stuff. Okay.
Right, cool. Right.
Because when I was looking at the cover, it was like, well, as you heard, my theory, which is obviously wrong, I thought that was like Predator kid or something, because I'd never seen that before.
Yeah.
And that was totally conjecture on my part when I was saying, well, what the heck does he have all this stuff on Logan for? I mean,
That's why I wanted to educate you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for correcting me.
So before we started recording, Ken and I had a big drag out fight about this issue.
We didn't have a drag out
fight. Oh, man. There was words.
We had a difference of opinion.
So my opinion is that during during the Team X section, Wolverine still has the bone claws, but Ken is very adamant that he already has the animanium claws, which
they look like metal.
To me, they look like shiny metal. I just don't see it. They look like bone, but I think this last little section, which is going to be about what happens right after he gets the animanium, should back up my
should settle the difference of opinion.
But
there's close ups and it looks like metal, not claw. I mean, it's smooth metal.
It's bony, yellowish bone.
Well, and I've seen Logan's claws depicted in the past, mm-hmm, and that bony, and they were really trying to get across the point it was bone. So there are like almost little like joints in it. Not really joints, but instead of it being a nice, long, curving, graceful metal claw, it's got like knots in it kind of thing.
Right, yeah, I've definitely seen that version.
Yeah, so
it's all up to the artist.
It's definitely not what this is, but yeah. Anyway.
So anyways.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think this is awesome. So we're seeing, like we mentioned in the last issue at the tail end of it, this is like a remake, only maybe amped up a little bit, of the original Predator scenario. So now instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger, which amazing action hero that he is, he still doesn't have the advantages of a Weapon X member.
Right.
A Team X member. That have modifications and enhancements and things like that. So this definitely is like the Predator original movie scenario, only amped up a bit.
Yeah, I agree. No, it was really cool. And they set it in South America, and mm-hmm, and everything drives home that this is revisionist type remake of Predator.
Right. And so they got, instead of Jesse Ventura, Governor Jesse Ventura, they've got Sabretooth with the Gatling gun.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, I'm sure Logan's supposed to be a Wolverine. Oh, or Arnie.
Yeah, Dutch.
Yeah. Dutch, there you go, Dutch. There you go. Anyway, I thought it was good. It was good.
No, I did too. And, I mean, we really praised Head getting exploded in the first issue. There's a similar scene here where one of the general's forces gets his head just evaporated with a plasma shot. And it looks so cool.
Now, this one looks like a slightly different weapon, maybe, because the head is just turns into blue something or other.
Yeah, I think it's just artist depiction.
Okay.
I think it's the same weapon.
Is it this? Okay, well, it's casting a blue hue on the other two soldiers that are just freaking the hell out, as they should. And then another of the soldiers is just... It's a great black and white silhouette kind of thing where the guy's cut in half And I know this is really violent and stuff, but it looks cool.
Right. Yeah. Like the, is that the shield part where they kind of throw the shield and.
Oh, is that the shield?
Out? Yeah.
Oh, that's it. That is the shield.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Oh, I had something else to say about that. The Predator is running at the soldiers, the three soldiers that are positioned to take out anything that comes in. And the Predator is running out with a Captain America shield, or maybe about the size of a Captain America shield. Mm-hmm. Yet if you look at the texture on it, the look of it, it looks more like a web shield, like a Spider-Man web shield. And then, good point. So he did throw the shield and slice the guy in half. Well, Captain America never did that. That I'm
exactly.
Aware of.
Yeah, so this shield's better than Captain America's.
Well, I'm sure Cap might be able to do it, but he wouldn't.
I do think that in Prey, the movie Prey, that, that Predator had a shield like this that expanded out. Okay. And then I do think that he sliced up a few people this way.
Okay. Okay. So the first thing I thought of was Captain America.
Oh,
and then
totally.
The second thing I thought of was Spider-Man. So I thought, you know, maybe this is kind of a nod to those superhero characters. But now that you say that about in Prey, you know, maybe it's just a little reusing something we saw in the movie.
Right. But definitely when he threw it, I was thinking Captain America as well.
Yeah. Anywho. I thought it was really interesting how the guy that's taken out in front of the Weapon X base is alive. He's alive, and he's getting sprayed by the Predator with this aerosol thing that just completely removes, while he's alive, the skin from his head.
So you think he's still alive? I mean, I know that his head's still attached.
Well, yeah. Look at his eyes. They're wide open, and look at his face. He's like, oh, my God.
But, I mean, he did just have his throat cut, so.
Well,
he could just be, that was the face he made when he died. I had the same question. My first thought was that he was still alive, too. But then I looked at it and like, well, he did just have his throat cut, so maybe he's just.
Well, but I think having your throat cut is not going to automatically kill you. You're going to have to bleed out.
Yeah, well, we don't know how long he waited.
True. So we don't know. But his eyes are open and his mouth is in a grimace. I suppose that could be he could be dead, but I prefer to think of him alive.
I hope he's
dead. Which makes it even more gross and PG-13 or R-rated.
Yeah, well, yeah, no matter what, it's R-rated. Yeah, that's pretty gruesome when his face melts.
Well, okay, so and maybe this was shown in one of the movies or something. I don't know, but this is like, this is how they get such clean trophies.
Yeah,
they
it's in the
use
movies.
This acid stuff so quick. Yeah, did they do that movie?
Yeah, the spray. Yeah.
Oh, they show them this in the movie? Okay.
Right.
Well, I didn't recall it, so I was like, oh, look, that's how they get the trophies. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's in the first one, actually. But I think it's been done multiple times.
Okay.
But no, it's still cool. And unfortunately, you know I'm a big fan of crossovers and Predator in general. But I had kind of stayed away from the Marvel, the Wolverine crossover. I wanted to wait until they were all out. But but you, my friend, kept talking about, I don't know anything about it except they pour acid down Wolverine's throat. And I'm like, what? And so when this happened, I was like, okay, this is probably when that's going to happen.
Issue 3. I think that was issue. I don't remember exactly which book I was looking in, but I'm pretty sure it's issue 3.
Yeah, this was months and months and months ago, and I was just like, dang it, Ken, I was trying to avoid it.
For better or for worse, Donovan is the poster child of no spoilers.
Yeah.
And where I'm a little
I like
less
to be surprised.
Another situation where Logan finds a way, or Jimmy, whatever, finds a way to win, at least temporarily. So in the first case, in the first story back in the 1900s, he had a bear. And I think he actually positioned the Predator near the cave where he knew the bear was, and he was just hoping the bear would come out.
Which so I didn't like able to do that because there. It was in the middle of the winter. So the bears aren't known to be very active and
that's
munchy.
True.
In the middle of the winter. But anyways, go ahead.
And then in this one, in the 1970s, 1980s, whatever time period this is, the whole Team X thing in South America, they get away using high explosives, which is pretty cool, except for the fact that they blew out an irreplaceable pyramid, ancient pyramid. Yeah. That's kind that made me cringe a little bit from a historical standpoint, but
right.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so he found a way to win yet again. So when we get to issue 4, I'm going to assume Logan keeps on finding ways of winning, but they could decide to go the other way.
Yeah,
which sure I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, but I'm sure the present day story will end with a win for Wolvie.
Yeah, it's just that this is the pattern. Logan always finds a way to win, even though, oh my gosh, the Predator is really a tough opponent.
Right. When Disney first bought out 20th Century Fox,
mm-hmm.
and we knew that, you know, Dark Horse was going to lose the rights to Alien Predator, mm-hmm. The one thing they kept talking about was, oh, there's going to be a Wolverine Predator crossover. And I always thought, oh, that's so perfect, because they do kind of. I mean, they even have the same power where the wrist blades come out of the Predator and Wolverine's mm-hmm. claws come out of his hand. So right. As a kid, I always like pitted them in my head anyway. So
cool.
But so, yeah, I mean, totally. If you're going to take any Marvel character and pit it up against the Predator, they did choose the right one.
Yeah.
Better than like the Hulk or whatever, which could just smash him.
Like a bug. Yeah, well, you mentioned the Hulk. I mean, definitely Wolverine has gone up against some pretty difficult opponents in the past. Mm-hmm. Right. And thank gosh he has healing factor. So that right. is the ace in the hole. One thing that's interesting, I just want to mention this real quick. He's drawn with very prominent fangs.
Wolverine?
Wolverine. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Which of course is something they don't do that in movies, but I'm just, you know, something I just definitely have noticed in these issues, especially when they're the artist that does them in the current times, he's got some really prominent fangs.
Wolverine does or nice. Sabretooth?
Wolverine. Hmm. Yes.
I'm thumbing through trying to find the picture.
Go to page 6. And he's in the bottom of the lake or river or whatever. And he's got all the boulders on top.
Oh, yeah, definitely he does there. Yeah, you're right.
He's got, and that's not the only place, but that was one place in particular I noticed it. And it was like, wow, he's really got some massive chompers there.
Yeah.
Not as much as Sabretooth, but still.
Well, that's the beauty of comic books is that every artist can have their own take on it, and it all works.
Exactly. Fine.
That's funny. I didn't even realize. I didn't even notice the first time I read it. Yeah. But he does look a little vampiric.
He looks kind of vampiric, yes. There you go.
But anyways, back to the whole Mayan thing blowing up, or I don't know what race supposedly made this. I'm assuming it's a fictional castle or whatever. But it's a bad timing that this story came out right after Madam Web, which has the same ending where they blow up the bad guy using explosives they just happened to find in the place. Have you not seen Madam Web?
No, I have not seen Madam Web. I have not partaken. I was planning on that, yes. I watched like 3 different reviews of it, and for the most part, they weren't saying anything positive about it. So are the parts you liked about it? Not that I want to bog us down in a web discussion.
No, you could skip it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm usually pretty forgiving. I'll usually find something I like about it, but nothing that I would say, oh, you should watch it because of this one part. It's
okay.
It's totally skippable.
Okay, good. That was my plan. But they're the same thing. They blow things up.
At the end, yeah. They set off a bunch of explosives and then run out, and then the other person, in this case, Spider-Man, gets blown up in there with it.
Spider-Man.
Kind of like how these Predators got blown up.
Okay. Now, I don't know about the Madam Web thing, but the good thing about this is he's a cool leader. So he's going to have weapons and he's going to have explosives. So it makes sense that they would be here. And then we also, they also had the thing where the alien was able to track the, you know, the Krell weapon. So, I mean, it all made sense. Probably a little bit more than this Madam Web sounds like it did.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. But speaking of that Krell weapon, so we know that Logan, or I guess James, whatever his name, you know, because he wasn't Logan until he was already part of the Weapon X or Team X team. Sure. So the pre-Logan had this alien device. Mm-hmm. And then now the post-Logan still has it, and now he's wearing it as like a
necklace,
a medallion, like a Mr. T medallion thing.
And it's big.
It's huge.
It's not a small thing.
And I really find it hard to believe he's been carrying it around for 80 years.
Yeah, completely. Completely. I completely agree with you. It's like, oh, it just happened to be there. That big, heavy thing around his neck. And how many times did he have his mind wiped? And, I mean, when they took him into the Weapon X program, I mean, probably all of his existing things that made him James whatever, you know, any kind of ID, any kind of rings or anything like that would have probably been taken away.
Yeah, you would think.
You'd think.
But now they left him with the big giant claw thing.
So did he, so Logan used it right away. I mean, he knew it was a weapon.
Right, yeah.
So he knew it was a weapon when in 1900 when he was fighting the alien, because it was in his leg.
Yeah, he got stabbed with it.
Right. But, I mean, didn't he say something about, like, he wasn't 100% sure why he had this thing, you know, why he kept it through all the years or whatever?
Yeah, I've carried this.
But he sure knew how to deploy it.
Right, yeah, he whips it out. But
he did call it a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay.
But yeah, I just find out.
I mean, if I had something, if I had a weapon like that, yeah. And if I had his particular occupation, yeah, I'd be carrying it.
But right. So still, are we to assume that he's been using it all this time?
I never saw him use it. But yeah. I didn't read these comics, or the Weapons X comics, so.
Right. I'm pretty sure it's not there.
Yeah. I think you're right.
But anyways.
Another good installment. Another very good installment.
Yep. Always a fan of these crossovers.
Exactly. So as they fight each other through the decades, it makes it a very personal thing, right? Even though Logan, a lot of his memories are blunted because of the mind wipes he's gone through. But still, it's kind of an ongoing nemesis, you know, Moriarty, Sherlock Holmes, whatever, through the ages. And I think it's pretty cool. It's more than what I expected.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, and like I said, Predator always works well when you take an existing franchise versus Predator. There's very few ones that I think are bad that they've done so far. But, so it's good stuff.
Indeed.
Anything else for this issue?
No. I guess just the last thing just to mention very briefly is, you know, going into this, I was reminded, because it wasn't that long ago that I watched it recently, that whole Batman Dead End thing. Where a short film, Batman fought the Predator and Alien and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, so this is like the Logan version of that. And then you reminded me that there were many, many versus Predator books with superheroes. That's cool. Mm-hmm. So I do like my odds up against a Predator better being Logan than I do Batman. Although Batman obviously has a lot of positive attributes too. But, I wouldn't want to go up against a Predator.
Right.
Not like that at all. It's good to have superpowers, though.
Yeah. I just finished the Tarzan Predator crossover.
Mm-hmm. And how was that?
It was good, but it was weird because it's really a crossover between Predator, Tarzan, and another Burroughs novel called Center of the Earth, or Earth's Core. So it was really like a crossover between those three stories. And it kind of seemed like the Predator stuff kind of got dropped a little bit. So there's like two issues where it's like the Predator was hardly in it. And it was all more of the politics of the Earth's core book for, and how Tarzan's fitting into it than the Predator hunting them both. But aside from that, it was a good crossover.
Good.
But yeah, but unfortunately, the Predators get taken out way too easy. Tarzan goes through quite a few of them.
Oh, with his knife.
And other things, yes.
Okay, but that's his main...
His brute strength. He definitely takes one out with just a knife.
It doesn't sound very likely, but okay. That's fine.
So anyways, I did have one other comment about this issue, quick, if you don't mind. So
please.
Did you get why the... I don't know what we're going to call him, this fish scale predator, the main predator. Okay. Why did he kind of make that one predator kill itself? So the one got shot in the face by Maverick, was dying, and then the main predator, predator forced his claws to go through his own face. Was it just more more honorable to kill yourself than to die in battle kind of thing? To be bested by your prey?
Well, I think he was going to die one way or the other. I think those were mortal wounds. So, I think because they were mortal wounds, it's better to die that way than just expire eventually, naturally, of your wounds. So and maybe there's some kind of an honor thing in there. I don't know. But
yeah. I don't know, and all the other Predator stuff, you know, like in the original Predator, when you're when you're gonna die, you blow yourself
up. You know, take your enemy out.
Right. But here it was just like, all right, you're gonna die, so I'm gonna force you to kill yourself, you know. Seemed kind of weird.
Exactly. Well, another thing that's weird is the entire page.
Go ahead.
Right. Another thing that's kind of weird is the fact that they're speaking, right? And what they're doing is they're like replaying things that Logan and others say.
Right.
So now I know that happened in the first movie, but it was like, it was especially odd here. I just thought it was odd.
It's odd.
If they can speak, you would think, hey, this, you know, one of your hunting party is dying here. You'd think they would actually communicate, unless, of course, they're, you know, telepathic or something. I don't know.
Well, we saw in
the idea that they're just repeating.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I mean, the fact that we have The Predator, the movie The Predator, which is the fourth movie. I mean, it had the predators talking to each other, and it would be like it would show the predator language, and then the predator language would then turn into English subtitles. Okay. So it's not like they couldn't have done the same thing here.
Right. So why did they just play back useless dialogue?
Right. Yeah, it doesn't really
matter. I mean, does this help? Does this tie into the death of that guy at all?
Nope. It's just things that were said before.
Yeah, exactly. So I just thought that was odd. Anywho.
Anyways, that was my last
segment. Cool. Enjoying this. Looking forward to seeing how this wraps up in the next episode. Yay.
And then we'll definitely get back to Star Trek. Trust us.
Yes. Yes. Tentative plan. We're going to get back to Defiant and Star Trek 2023. Or 2022, sorry.
2022, yeah. All right, well, thank you everybody for joining.
And we'll see you next time on The Review.
Thank you for listening to Star Trek Comic Book Review. All Star Trek stories and characters are copyrighted CBS Studios Incorporated. All music, stories, and characters discussed are for entertainment purposes only. You can email us at StarTComicBookReview@gmail.com. Visit us at our website, www.stcomicbookreview.com. Subscribe to us via iTunes
or friend us on Facebook at First Name ST Comic, Second Name Book Review. See you next time on Star Trek Comic Book Review.
Let's get the hell out of here.